ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव। नित्यानुभूता निज लाभ निवृत तृष्णः श्रेयस अतत रचनया चिर सुप्त बुद्धे लोकस्य यः करुणया भयम् आत्मलोकम् आख्यान नमो भगवते ऋषभाय तस्मै। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Lord Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev, was fully aware of His true identity. Therefore, He was self-sufficient and He did not desire external gratification. There was no need for Him to aspire for success since He was complete in Himself. Those who unnecessarily engage in bodily conceptions and create an atmosphere of materialism are always ignorant of their real self-interest. Out of His causeless mercy, Lord Rishabhdev taught the Self's real identity and the goal of life. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the Lord who appeared as Lord Rishabhdev. Purport: This is the summary of this chapter in which the activities of Lord Rishabhdev are described. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Rishabhdev is complete in Himself. We living entities, as parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, should follow the instructions of the Lord Rishabhdev and become self-sufficient. We should not create unnecessary demands due to the bodily conception. When one is self-realized, he is sufficiently satisfied due to being situated in his original spiritual position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati. This is the goal of all living entities. Even though one may be situated within this material world, he can become fully satisfied and devoid of hankering and lamentation simply by following the instructions of the Lord as set forth in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Satisfaction through self-realization is called Swarupananda. The conditioned soul, eternally sleeping in darkness, does not understand his self-interest. He simply tries to become happy by making material adjustments. But this is impossible. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nate vidhu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Due to gross ignorance, the conditioned soul does not know that his real self-interest is to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. To try to become happy by adjusting the material atmosphere is a useless endeavor. Indeed, it is impossible. By his personal behavior and instructions, Lord Rishabhdev enlightened the conditioned soul and showed him how to become self-sufficient in his spiritual identity. Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse of this chapter. And herein, Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the summary of this chapter entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. And where it is described how he is self-sufficient because he is the Lord, therefore he is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient means there is nothing that lies outside of the Lord. And so when one is self-sufficient, when he does not require anything outside his sphere or no resources outside his whatever sphere he is dwelling in. So, on the other hand, The people of this world in general, materialistic people, they are not self-sufficient. In fact, they are always hankering to become self-sufficient. It is a natural tendency of everyone to become self-sufficient because in that position, he can actually enjoy life. He become independent and enjoy life. That's what the whole purpose is, the human being wants. But Prabhupada here explains that these people or these living entities in this material world, they're trying hard to become self-sufficient and they think that is their swartha gatim. That is, swartha means swa, means one's himself. Artha means benefits or basically money, swartha. Artha also means money in one sense. So they're trying to become happy, Prabhupada writes in the purport, by making material adjustments. That's their purpose. So what is this material adjustment? Material adjustments means to gain a lot of money and by that buy all kind of happiness and become self-sufficient. That's what the purpose is. So we'll try to see how actually this material adjustment, so-called, or the money, is not the source of happiness. It is a very... His Holiness Devamrita Swami was giving a class in Mayapur and he was explaining this point. How money is one thing and happiness is another thing. They are not depending on each other. But still, it's so difficult to understand because this concept has gone so inside into the heart of people. They cannot think happiness without money. It's very difficult. Some people think that I'll work hard, I'll get money, then I'll go on vacations, like summer vacations now. A lot of rush in trains. They go to some place and become happy. But it's not like that. Prahlad Maharaj explains, just like the misery comes on its own, similar happiness comes on its own. Money has got nothing to do with it. These are some of the things which Bhagavatam is very clear about. So as devotees, we must try to adhere these teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam into our lives. So, what is material adjustments? Somebody say, I'll buy a big house and I'll become happy. Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining, one can buy a big house, but he cannot buy homely atmosphere. It's not possible. We have seen so many examples in today's world itself. A few years back, a decade back perhaps, there was this Prince Charles of Great Britain and he was married to Diana. They were happy but suddenly something happened wrong and there was so much problems and then there is divorce and although the big house was there, they are not living in that palace. They are even roaming here and there. So house may be there but homely atmosphere and money cannot buy. This is a simple fact. Also, there is this royal family in Nepal. We have heard in the newspaper how they fought among each other and killed each other within the palace. Big house is there, but no homely atmosphere. Similarly, one can have a very nice bed, but he cannot buy sleep. In this world, so much anxiety going on, in the city life especially. People cannot sleep. A few years back, I read in the newspaper article that how in America, if they pile all the sleeping pills at a time for a day, one day nobody takes sleeping pills and they pile it will form a small mountain. So that much amount of sleeping pill they take just to sleep. So one may buy a bed, but he cannot buy a peaceful sleep. Similarly, one can buy food, but he cannot buy digestion. Krishna says he is the fire of digestion in the stomach. So if he wants, he can withdraw it. And there will be no digestion. All the money is there, no chappan bhog is there, nobody can enjoy it. Similarly, one can buy medicines, but he cannot buy good health. These are simple examples which explains how money and happiness are mutually exclusive. They're not depending on each other. There are independent factors. Now, in fact, money instead of giving happiness, it causes misery. One thinks, the typical materialistic person thinks, I'll have money and I'll be happy. Actually, money causes miseries. So one may say, look at this person, he's having $1 million, but he is miserable. Then a materialist person will argue, he will say, well, he is having so much money, but he is miserable. Why? Because he has some health problem or this problem. That has nothing to do with money. So they recognize money and miseries are separate. But they don't recognize money and happiness is separate. But actually money is cause of miseries. Why we have sin? This is the age of Kali, quarrel and hypocrisy. Within family, whenever there is property issues, there is fighting. It's a very common factor. Lawyers in the court, they deal with it every day. Especially our Hrishikesh Anand Prabhu is telling me, there's the property issues are the maximum number of cases they deal in court. He was saying it's very common. And somebody was telling a few days back, somebody's father died and the brother started fighting in front of the mother. Mother is still alive and they're fighting over the property. So these things are common because money is there and there is no proper understanding how to use money. There is quarrel and there is hypocrisy. This is the age of, especially in this age. Because Kali resides in money. That's one of the places where King Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj, he gave a place to reside. So, as devotees, we should understand that money means there can be misery. Previously, if a big family is there, so many cousins, they used to live together. Nowadays, it is very common to think that cousins can live separately. There is no problem. It is natural. And even things are more becoming degrading and the brothers also started living separately. It's quite, in city especially, it's becoming a common feature. So when people come together and actually live for a particular purpose and work selflessly to that end, they become happy actually. But when there is more and more selfish interest, there comes misery. So I heard a story in my childhood. This is a story regarding this Kali. Our grandmother used to tell. Whenever we would quarrel among each other, she would tell this story. This is a story of a farmer. He was living towards the end of Dwapar, he was living in a small village. And he was a poor farmer, so he once went to a landlord. He said, please give me some land to till so that I can sustain myself and in return I will give you some part of the production. So the landlord agreed. And so he gave him a piece of land. So the farmer started tilling the land. And he was tilling, his plow stuck against something. So he tried to know what is there inside the land. So he started digging the place. And he found a vessel of pure gold having a lot of precious jewels in it. Diamonds and rubies. So immediately he thought, this is not my land. This land is his. So the property, whatever comes out of the land, is also landlord's. So with that thinking, he went to the landlord with that pot of jewels, gold pot. He said, here sir, this is the pot. Please accept it. I just found it in your land. He said, no, because you found it. Otherwise, I would never know it. Because you have found it, so you keep it. And there was argument going back and forth. No, you keep it. He said, no, you keep. And then in the end, the farmer comes back with the pot. The rich man doesn't accept it. He said, I have already a lot of wealth. You keep it. But again, after coming back home, he is thinking, how can I keep it? It's actually his property. So like almost every day, he would go back to this man and request him to keep it and he would refuse it. So as these things are happening, the Dwapar Yuga ends. Dwapar Yuga ends. And so this is the end of Dwapar Yuga. So Kali Yuga enters. So one day he goes, one fine morning, he says, okay, sir, you please keep it. He says, okay, give it to me. He says, no. Actually, I was thinking to give, but still, I am a poor man, I should keep it. He says, no, I will keep it. And then the quarrel begins. Because Kali immediately enters into that pot of gold. So, this is what happens. Wherever there is money, there is actually misery. If one does not understand how to use it. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, like There is a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Punjab somewhere, and some said, here is a sadhu who does not even touch money. Prabhupada said, don't worry, you bring all the money, I'll put a whole cart of money and take it and use it in Krishna's service. Therefore, when we properly used in Krishna's service, and because there is no self-interest, there will be no misery. That one has to understand. So, money does not give happiness. In fact, it causes misery. And over and above all, it perpetuates the illusion of a living entity. Because he thinks he is trying to be self-sufficient, but Maya is always ready there with something more to offer. One has this thing, then he says, okay, if I have this thing, then I will be self-sufficient. Then he says, no, there is something more to get, something more to get. And things continues. In this way, it perpetuates our illusion, and one can never understand its true identity, and thus can never be self-sufficient. And besides this, that makes a person work very, very hard. He continuously working very hard, day and night, just to become self-sufficient. But he never becomes self-sufficient. And that's the illusion. So this is the situation of a materialistic person who is trying to become self-sufficient, but he is actually far away from it. But on the other hand, here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that how the Lord Rishabhdev, he was always self-sufficient. Because he is the Lord himself. There is nothing beyond him that he needs. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3. Chapter 7. Matta parataram nanyad kinchid asti dhananjaya. What is it? Next line. My sarvam idam praktam sutremani ganaiva. He says, there is no truth which is superior to me. There is nothing, that means, which lie beyond the Lord. It is explained that because Prabhupada is explaining here, there is no truth superior to me. It is said that even the absolute truth, it has three aspects. There is three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, three features. The three are all absolute truth. But even in these three aspects, Krishna is saying, there is nothing superior to me. There is nothing superior to his personal form. Matta parataram nanyat. He is not saying, no truth is superior to Brahman or Paramatma. He is saying that basically, no truth is superior to me. That means, the other aspects of absolute truth is actually still subservient to the Lord himself. So, although they are the same aspect, but still, the Lord is the last word in Prabhupada says. He is the last word in the absolute truth, Bhagavan picture. And he says, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, there is no duty for me in this world. He says, Name parthastu kartabhyam trisu lokesu kinchana nanavaptam avaptabhyam Bharta eva cha karmani. He is saying, there is no duty for me in this world. In this three world, there is no work for me. So materialistic people working very hard. Why? They want to be self-sufficient. But here Krishna says, he has nothing to do. There is no work for him in the three world. So he is not trying to be self-sufficient. Why? Because he is already self-sufficient. The next two lines explains, nanavaptam. Nanavaptam means, there is nothing he wants. Why? Because he has already everything. There is nothing needed. So, because he has everything, therefore he is also self-sufficient. Avaptabhyam. Avaptabhyam means, there is nothing to be gained. Because everything he has already gained. So, in this way, you can see, the Lord is complete. Still, he says, I work as a matter of prescribed duty. Just to help the living entities follow his footsteps. And, by that, one can become actually self-sufficient. So in the purport to this particular verse in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is writing very nice two verses, quoting two verses from Shatasvatara Upanishad. These are two very nice, although this is Upanishad, these two verses sound very, very devotional. It says, तम ईश्वराणां परमं महेश्वरं तम देवतानां परमं च दैवतं पतिं पतिनां परमं परस्ताद् विदां देवं भुवनेशमेद्यं न तस्य कार्यं करणं च विद्यते न तत्समस् चाभिदक्ष च दृश्यते परास्य शक्तिर्विविधैव श्रूयते स्वाभाविकी ज्ञानबल क्रिया च. These two verses explain how the Lord is actually, He is the Supreme Personality of God. It is the Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. He is the Lord of all the Lords. And it says Maheshwaram, it's not just Ishwar, He is Maheshwaram, means He is the Lord of all the Lords. And He is the Devata of all Devata. He is Devatanam Daivatam. He is the God of all demigods. And in this way, this verse is explaining how the Lord has a supreme position. And in the next verse, he says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. There is no duty for him because he is the supreme. Just like a king, he just enjoys always. You know, that's his position. So he's the real king, he's the most topmost king. There is no duty for him, he's just enjoying. Natat samas. There is no one equal to him. So there is a. If there is a business magnate, big man, there is another business magnate, he is also a big man. So because they are almost equal, so there is a competition among them. But here Krishna says, not only he is topmost, there is nobody equal to him. So there is no question of any competition with him. He is always the top person. And there is no one bigger than him also. Then how does he do his activities? Parasya saktir vividhai vasruyate svabhaviki jnanabala kriyacha. So Krishna has multifarious energies, lot of potencies. And using those potencies, he can achieve anything. Just like some people say, of course, money has some power. Just like if our Srinath Ji Prabhu, he wants, let there be a Mercedes car. And it will be there, because he has that potency. But if I say, let there be a Mercedes, it will never be there, because I have no potencies. So the Lord, you see, He has a lot of potencies, many, many potencies. And using those potencies, He can achieve anything almost spontaneously. Because He says, svabhavik, it is natural for the Lord to have it. Jnana balak, not only have the potencies, but He has the knowledge how to use those potencies, and He has also strength to actually perform that activity. In this way, his activities are not like the activities of this world where people are struggling very hard. His activities are very, very natural. It spontaneously happen. Just desire and there it is. He says, let there be a creation, there it is. Because all the energies are at his complete control. So in this way, Lord is actually always self-sufficient. But the people in this world, although they're trying very hard, they are not becoming self-sufficient. But it's the inner desire. It's the inner desire for everyone to become self-sufficient. So then, what is the solution? It is said, for every problem in this world, there is a solution. So of course, this desire is there. And Srimad Bhagavatam not just poses some problems, it gives the solution also. And here in this verse, it is said, just by following the instructions of Lord Rishabhdev, one can become self-sufficient. Because by taking shelter of the Lord, it is possible to become self-sufficient. Prahlad Maharaj also instructs that by taking shelter of Lord Vishnu, that swarthagatim, whatever you are looking for, it is there. Prabhupada explains that what is taking shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet? He said it means taking shelter of the lotus feet of pure devotees. Why? Because the pure devotees always reside at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because the pure devotees always reside at the lotus feet of the Lord. So taking shelter of lotus feet of the Lord means taking shelter of the pure devotees. And Prabhupada is explaining that in this world, people are trying to become self-satisfied, and One can be self-satisfied if he is beyond lamentation and hankering. That's what Prabhupada says here in this particular purport. That one is always hankering, then if it is fulfilled, then more hankering. If it is not fulfilled, then lamentation. It goes on. In this way, he is never self-satisfied. But by following the instructions of the previous acharyas, guru, one can become self-sufficient. One example in this regard is Srila Prabhupada himself. We have heard this story again and again, but still it's inspiring because he, by his own conduct, explaining how by following the instructions, one becomes actually beyond lamentation and hankering. Like he was traveling in this Jaladuta ship, and he was thinking, here are my god brothers, they are having nice festivals, Gaur Purnima, and here I am. So on one hand he is hankering to have their association, and he is also lamenting because he is not able to be with them. But at the same time he is happy because he is following the instruction of the spiritual master. So although this kind of hankering is not a materialistic hankering as people do, but still, because it is outside the instruction of spiritual master, therefore it can cause misery if one pays too much attention to it. But because he was sticking to the instruction of spiritual master, although there is hankering and lamentation there, still he is satisfied performing whatever he was performing. So in this way we can see, just by following the instructions of the Lord and his pure devotees, one can become happy in himself. He doesn't need anything outside himself. Whatever is supplied, with that he is actually happy. But there are many examples, the Pandavas or Sridhar Kolavecha. He is, by his own family descent, he was a poor person. No, absolute poverty. There is no money with him. But when he was offered money, he said, no, I don't need it. Because he is very intelligent. He recognizes money has got nothing to do with the happiness. He knows, my dealings with Lord Chaitanya itself is going to give me happiness eternally. So why do I need money? In this way, we can say there are so many examples where not only it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that actually happiness is like this, but actually it is shown by many, many examples. So in this way, when one actually follow the instructions of the spiritual master and the Lord, one become happy and become self-sufficient. That is real Swartha Gatim. Thank you for hearing. Are there any questions? Comments? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tagore Premanande.